So I'd like us to turn together to Psalm 27. So we're looking at this overarching theme of God dwelling with us and the amazing wonder of that. And again, this psalm where David says his one desire is that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But really, when we look at the whole psalm, how do we understand Psalm 27? How do we try and get hold of its message? Really, the psalm teaches us to have cheerful courage when facing life's battles. To have cheerful courage. To have even joy in the face of adversity. And we see in David in his prayer here a great example of taking courage in God. And courage is a good and noble virtue in the service of Christ. And we don't know the exact historical circumstances behind the psalm, or even if it was connected to any one event. But in it, that I think sums it up. And that's one of the big things we take from the psalm. Have not just courage, but cheerful courage, joyful courage, facing life's battles. There's a famous poem by Wordsworth called The Happy Warrior. I don't know if anyone's heard of that, but some politicians have even cottoned on to that and used it as a phrase. Ronald Reagan was sometimes called the Happy Warrior, because the idea is that they met adversity with a smile and it didn't deter them from getting on with the mission. And again, I think that's partly how you could try and sum up David in this psalm. He's a happy warrior. And when battles come, when the enemy attacks us, it's easy to be overwhelmed and downcast. It's easy to lose heart. So we need to learn from David here how to trust the Lord and how to wait for the Lord as we respond. Well, the first thought really is, what is the source of the happy warrior's strength? How is it that there's this note of confidence and joy despite these enemies attacking? He speaks of enemies who are so cruel and so wicked that they want to eat up David's flesh. They want to utterly devour and destroy him. And yet he has joy and he's got confidence. Well, really the source of his strength is that he knows the Lord is with him. It's the truth that the Lord is with him that's upholding him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? These words have often been compared to the words at the end of Romans 8. You know, if God is for us, who shall be against us? And really, if you look at verses 1 to 3, it's almost like David is comparing the two sides in this battle. If you can picture the spiritual battlefield in front of you, and David describes on the one hand all the horror and ugliness of his enemies, that they could even come at him with an army. But on the other side, who's with David is the Lord. There's that great phrase, is it John Knox, I think, who said it, that God plus one is a majority? And that's what David is saying. He's saying it doesn't matter what the wickedness of the enemy might do. Look who's on my side. God is with me. And again, it's that precious doctrine of our union with Christ and the gift of the Spirit, his promise that I will be with you to the end of the age. The Lord is truly with us as his people and will not abandon us or forsake us. And so this is the source of his strength. And if there's a practical lesson, is if you're feeling overwhelmed or there's the attacks of the enemy and there's troubles, then maybe what you can do to help yourself is compare them to who's with you. Imagine that battlefield in your mind. Well, over here, I've got this opposition and this problem and this anxiety. But who have I got over here? I've got the Lord, the Almighty. And he is my light, my strength, my stronghold. And so that's what we need to do. That will be the source of our strength. Well, also, if you look at verses 4 to 6, David says he's really sustained by the joy of worship. He's sustained by the joy of worship. in verses 4 to 6, again, we've got to understand David is not speaking about some purely private personal experience of God. He's really speaking about the public worship of God in his tabernacle. When he speaks about the house of the Lord and the Lord's pavilion and his tabernacle and the great joy that he has in going there, and there he contemplates the beauty of the Lord, and there he brings offerings. He's not speaking about some private mystical experience. He's speaking about going up to the literal house of the Lord, the tabernacle, and taking part with the priests there and the people of God in the joyful praise of God and their songs together. And it's the joy of that that sustains him. And when he talks about his longing of how he wants to be there forever, that's really just to emphasize to us how much of a joy that worship is to him. That it is a little snapshot of heaven, of what heaven will be like forever. So there's the joy he has in contemplating the beauty of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the kindness of the Lord, the amiableness of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord, which of course is where we want to direct our hearts when we come to worship, past the outward means of the sacraments and the word of God and the other people that are there. We want to be lifting up our hearts that we're looking at God and remembering how good and great he is. And then he speaks about the security and the safety that's there, that the Lord says is a sanctuary. It is there that we come before the face of God and he hears our prayers and he cares for us. And then, of course, there's just that great joy of the singing of the praise of God. I will offer sacrifices of joy. I will sing. I will sing praises. I will sing psalms to the Lord. So again, there's a very practical lesson for us. If we want to be happy warriors, we're going to be sustained by being in the Lord's house. We need to be there in worship and enjoying it. And then if you look at verses 7 to 13, a third way that we could describe what David does, the source of his joy and strength, is he depends on the faithfulness of God. That's the approach and the attitude of his heart, that he's depending on the faithfulness of God. He's coming in weakness and humility, acknowledging that none of the strength is his, but that he can trust in the faithfulness of God. So as he's reflecting on this, that he can come to God for help, in verse 8 he says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will see. He's reminding himself that God has invited him. God has initiated this relationship. God in his grace has summoned him to come to him. So again, that's encouraging him to come to him for help. In verse 10, the real point of verse 10, I think, of the comparison there, this debate about how to translate it exactly, is he's saying, look, even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. So even if that closest possible relationship, humanly speaking, failed, as a comparison, the Lord will never fail me in his faithfulness. And to be like a parent to me, to feed me, to protect me, to teach me, to guard me. And if you look at verses 7, and he says, have mercy upon me. And then in verse 9, do not turn your servant away in anger. That means, that's showing us that David comes in a humble acknowledgement of his own sins, his own failures, that apart from the grace of God, the mercy of God in his covenant, of course, David could have no place to stand before God. God could turn away from him. But David is here, if you like, humbly acknowledging his sin, and then he's dependent on the mercy of God. And then you see the same spirit in verse 14, that he will submit to God's timing. He will wait on the Lord. So, I think if there's a practical, helpful thing there for us, it's actually, where's our heart at when we're facing adversity and trouble? And you don't see David giving into a panic here, but there is a humble, dependent trust on God, a resting on God in humility and in need. And so that's what we should seek to cultivate in our hearts. He's acknowledging his weakness in many different ways, but that God is the one who isn't weak, you can always trust him. So you see again his great confidence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's a great declaration of faith, really, isn't it? And isn't that really helpful to see that actually in our hearts, we are often a mix of two things, aren't we? You see there David's anxiety and his faith trembling and his faith overcoming his doubts, and he trusts he will see the goodness of the Lord. He will win the victory and come through. But often our hearts are a bit like that, aren't they? They can be a bit up and down. Sometimes maybe we're feeling both things at once, a bit of anxiety and a resolution to trust God. And there can be that conflict. So I think what that tells us is that the key issue is not your enemy, and it's not your circumstance, it's not whatever's coming against you. The key issue is, will you trust God? Is will you trust the Lord? Don't look at the enemy on the battlefield. Look at who's on your side. Don't look at the things that would cause you to be anxious, or your sins even, but look at the faithfulness and the mercy of God. And don't look at the threats and circumstances around you, but look at what you have in Christ, the joy of being in his house, a member of his household. And so if we start to do these things, then hopefully we will have the cheerful confidence of the happy warrior as we serve the Lord. And there's one example of this in David's life that I thought was a good example for us to finish with. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David faces one of his most severe trials. He comes back from the Philistines, who've rejected him and sent him away, and they come back to the city where he and his men have been living in the wilderness. He's still in exile from the Promised Land. And he finds that the Amalekites have raided, and they've burned his city to the ground, and they've taken the wives and the children off captive. And his men are so despairing in that moment, they even want to stone David. So it's an absolute disaster. But in verse 6, it has this wonderful little phrase. It says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." So everyone else around him is utterly overwhelmed and given into the fear. But David, he then goes on to launch a great rescue and victory and save the people and bring them back. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that's what you hear in this psalm. And that's what we've got to learn to do as well. So I hope that's a helpful, encouraging thought, brethren.